Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Trying to find a weather channel. I don't know. The guide on our TVs, it's not the same as mine. I have that Xfinity Voice One X1 voice remote where I just speak in it. I'm telling you, mine, I would just say,
just kind of
weather channel, and bang, it comes up. Here, they don't have that. I got to get that. So I'm trying to watch the coverage of the storm, and who knows? There's a storm a-brewing in Foxborough.
It's a-raining.
Yes. But let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and going into Foxborough. Sunday night, it's going to have our city just we're under a warning because it's Steeler season and all those sort of cliches. First, I want to hear James Conner, right? So James Conner was on NFL Network, and he talked about going up there and what the Steelers, well, don't do successfully in Foxborough.
When I hear that, I just think of opportunity. You know, the only time something great can happen is with opportunity to do it. We got a great opportunity on Sunday night.
That they do. They've got an opportunity to break that streak. It's really tough. The Belichick in the Brady era, the Steelers just simply don't win up there. Where do they have the advantage? You know, you look at both depth charts, right? And the quarterbacks don't play against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start to do the matchups, like the Steelers receivers against the defensive backfield of the New England Patriots, the Steelers offensive line against the front of the Patriots, Brady against everybody on the Steelers defense, Ben against everybody on the Patriots defense. Where do the Steelers, when you start to do that tail of the tape, as they often do, they throw it on the television. Logically, when you start to talk to yourself and try to talk yourself into the Steelers could win this football game, where do they have the advantage?
I mean, for me, it's looking at what the Patriots have in the front seven, particularly up front, and what they don't have in Trey Flowers and went to Detroit, and the fact that the Steelers still have one of the best offensive lines in football.
And you don't believe in Lawrence Guy, you don't believe in Danny Shelton, and in Dietrich Wise isn't the guy that's
going to go
ahead.
Michael Bennett's how much older now, not in his prime anymore. I look at the Steelers having an opportunity to control the line of scrimmage on offense. And whether that involves giving Ben all the time in the world to make the passes that he wants to make against, admittedly, a good secondary, or whether that involves handing it off to Connor and Samuels and, you know, pounding it on the ground. However they decide to exploit that advantage, I think that's the one advantage they clearly have to me is their offensive line against New England's front seven, in particular the defensive line.
Yeah, where do the Steelers have the advantage? I think that the Steelers' receivers could go out and eat up the defensive backs a little bit. Stephon Gilmore, I think, and McCourty. I don't know if they can necessarily keep up if the Steelers get in some rhythm. It's just going to be a matter of getting in some rhythm, and I think that a guy like James Washington is going to be a really big football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. I think the secondary options, who knows, Dante Moncrief may catch a couple balls because I do think that their focus will be on, as everybody's will be, taking Juju out of it. But other than that, you're hard-pressed to find where the Steelers have an advantage.
I mean, especially when you flip it to the other side, right? Mm-hmm. Because you've got the best quarterback of all time behind a decent offensive line, and he's got a million different options to work with, and there's a good chance he's going to be working against a free safety who was in the AAF 4 months ago.
Yeah, Jim, where can you point out where you circle and you say, okay, we feel good about this matchup?
I think despite the departure of two significant players, I think Ben has a better supporting cast than Brady does. I think his arsenal and the guys that he has behind him, not to mention in front of him, as Chris mentioned, are better. And just in general, although we're going to have to see this to believe it, the defense is faster. And I really believe that the defense is more well-equipped to deal with no huddle, for example. But again, we'll find out. You know, Brady can take advantage of a lot of different things, but I think that a faster defense is to the Steelers' advantage.
I think, you know, not just team speed, but to go back to what we talked, what you brought up with the Patriots secondary and the Steelers receivers, and yes, they're younger and quicker maybe than the Patriots secondary. This may become, we get so wrapped up in the chess match that Tom Brady plays against opposing defenses. If the Steelers defense can get to Tom Brady, really pressure him, and we talk about that all the time, every time the Steelers play New England, but it could be interesting to see if Ben Roethlisberger has more time than Tom Brady in the pocket. Does Ben Roethlisberger start to turn this into a little bit of a chess match and say, okay, I'm going to use all these weapons that Jim just mentioned and see if I can't outfox a really experienced veteran secondary?
I'm going to be interested to see if Ben Roethlisberger uses all the time that he's given in the pocket, too. if Ben Roethlisberger wants to make it a straight drop-back game, or if Ben Roethlisberger wants to make this offense a boot-it-out kind of offense, a kind of, you know, throw it on the fly or throw it as he's moving sort of offense, because I actually think that the Steelers' offense functions best when Ben gets it out quickest, that he's not at his best anymore when he's a drop-back passer, that let's get the football out to playmakers and let them make plays.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's got to be about is 1, 2, 3, let's get the ball out. Maybe not that quick, but, you know, New England's pass rush, I think, is already going to have a hard time getting to Ben. I think if you mitigate that even more in making quick decisions and then playing off of that, because once that secondary starts to roll up because you're hitting those quick hitters to the outside, all of a sudden things open up deep for maybe your James Washingtons of the world who can get downfield and make something big happen.
And you wonder, too, what Josh Gordon can do on the other side like that, if he can kind of take the lid off of this Steelers defense, especially one that, although they're very fast, and everybody's pointed that out, how fast can they play whenever they're playing someone that they don't necessarily, that maybe they're not as comfortable with Cameron Kelly as they would be
right
with their regular personnel back there. Later on the hour, we'll talk about the best teammate in America. We'll get into him just a little bit because he's such a great teammate. Don't forget, 7 o'clock, joined in studio by the Lamoureux twins. You know them. They score goals. They play for the USA women's hockey team. They're involved in a great initiative with Comcast. Producer Matt, they're coming in live in studio. You're arranging
yes.
all of that. Great job by you. And our friend, you know, the go-between for us there is Bob Grove, the brilliant Bob Grove.
Great guy.
Just one of the finest men you'll meet. Really is. And he's kind of serving as the bridge between the two communities, hockey and Comcast here. Thanks to him for setting this up. We're going to talk to the Lamoureux coming up at 7 o'clock live in studio. Big day. Brian Billick at 8:30. Michael McHenry at 9. Jim Nantz on the horn
that's
at about
big.
9:30. Oh, yeah. James Conner. That's one of the names Jim Nantz hopefully says a lot this year, right? Here's James Conner from NFL Network about being ready to go.
I feel real good, man. I had a great great summer of work. And, you know, just the way, you know, we're just prepped for a big year. You know, really anything I did last year can't help us this year. So I got a whole new mindset. We start with a clean slate. And just going to go out there and try to ball out in my third year.
All right, James Conner's the starter. That's been said before, but it hasn't been said without some strings. Let me say it again. James Conner's the starter. But before, there was some things tethered to that. First year, he was a rookie. Last year, James Conner's the starter. But is Le'Veon Bell going to pull
right.
back in? Is Le'Veon Bell at a gas station on the south side? Is Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh?
Is he at a gym
Bell
playing hoops?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it? Wait, does James Conner need to look over his shoulder? Is Le'Veon Bell going to use the equipment that's in his locker? Is Le'Veon... none of that. It's James Conner's the starter, period. Return. Start the next sentence now this year. How does that change the dynamic of everything? And is he ready to be a big time back in the NFL?
I don't know if the idea of Le'Veon Bell sort of looming over everything will change the way James Conner performs at all, but I do wonder, now that he is cemented in the role, how he responds to that. Because when he was fighting for that job as, yeah, I'm the guy that can carry this. Look, whether Bell comes back or not, I am the guy. That's when he was ripping off 135. That's when he was ripping off 110, 111.
4 weeks in a row, right, of big games.
Four weeks in a row over 100 yards rushing,
yeah.
And that's the last time he did it.
The
last
time he had to start the season in the first game, then there was kind of a hole.
And then he missed three games in December. The last time James Conner went 100 total yards was November 4th. That game that went over Baltimore.
All right, well, let's start to look at some guys. So the tier one in the league is Barkley, McCaffrey,
Gurley,
Ezekiel Elliott, and Kamara, probably.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, would you give me those guys?
I'll give you those.
Tier two in the league. Probably David Johnson, Lev Bell. Give me David Johnson, Lev Bell. Give me Joe Mixon, maybe there. Is Connor right there with the Joe Mixons? And
the
Dalvin
Melvin
Cooks.
Gordons of the world.
Is Connor there with Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook?
Yes. Yeah, I think he is.
I think he needs, and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I think so.
He needs to be at the top of that pack for
Let's put it this way. If he's not in that group, sort of that second tier behind the Ezekiel Elliotts of the world, the mm-hmm. top flight running backs in the game, Todd Gurley, McCaffrey, you mentioned Barkley, Kamara. If he's not going to perform like he's in that next group, that next handful, then this offense is going to have trouble this year.
I agree with you. He can't be back with, like, Marlon Mack. He can't be back with Derrick Henry or Devontae Freeman. He needs to be back. And I understand what some of those guys get paid.
And some of those guys are very good in certain aspects of their game. Derrick Henry will run you over. That's wonderful. Other guys, you know, Marlon Mack is a steady in-between
attackers
guy.
He needs to be way better than Nick Chubb.
Yes. James Conner needs to be a number one overall feature back. Uh-huh. You know, that's the kind of year he needs. He needs to be the guy he was in September and October and early November last year.
And I'm not talking about your fantasy football team. I'm not talking about the numbers that you put up in your fantasy team. I'm talking about real production for his real team and what his value is to his team.
He needs to be the Falcons game, that game in Cincy, the mm-hmm. game against the Browns at home, the game in Baltimore, those four in a row when he ripped off 100 or more on the ground, and in most games was adding four catches for at least 50 yards as well. That's what he needs to
see,
be.
See, I do think, even though some people might not, that Le'Veon Bell being even loosely tethered to the situation last year and the wandering and the not knowing and all that, I think that did affect, as the season went on, James Conner a little bit, because at any point in time he didn't know what was going to happen. Was Le'Veon Bell going to walk in and take his job? Was he going to have to fight for his job? Was he going to have to audition? Was he going to have to hear all the questions? Now it's just, whew, I'm the guy.
Yeah, I also think it was interesting the way he was used, or more accurately, not used for a couple of weeks before he was injured. And you know, were injuries playing a part of that leading up to it? You know, remember he left the Carolina game early, I think it was, because they had a huge lead and they didn't want to risk him anymore. And does he need to be a rhythm guy, too? Does he need to be a guy who gets the ball 20 times a game? Or can he have a game where he might only get 15 carries, but still rips off 9,500 yards?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.